Lord. We have young people who are devoted to that purpose. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me as we go to John chapter 11. John, the 11th chapter. Two verses that we'll read there, 25 and 26. The story of Lazarus and the believing that the Lord challenged them to. John 11, 25. I'll read these two verses, and every time we encounter the word believeth or any of its derivatives, you say that word out loud, okay? I'll read it. You emphasize it. Any of the words believing. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this. Her brother's dead. Hope has been gone for 4 days. And the Lord is declaring, I am. But then the challenge is, believest thou this? Turn to someone next to you and ask them that. Amen. Believest thou this? You may be seated. God wasn't asking Abraham a riddle or posing one to him. You know, look up, look down, walk all around. He was declaring, my promise is to you that your descendants are going to be like the stars of the heavens. They're going to be like the sands of the seashore. Everywhere you walk, you're going to be able to claim. Praise God. Now, I'm sure the devil was whispering in Abraham's ear, just like he does you. You really believe that? You think that's going to happen? You're not going to live to see it happen. You really believe that? Now, on a moonless, clear night, with no artificial light around, no campfires, nothing, the stars are in the millions of what you can see just with your eye without a telescope. And astronomers tell us there are billions there. Abraham, you really believe that? Now, his age was advanced and that of his wife, but Isaac was born because the Lord keeps his promises. Amen. Amen. Zacharias in the temple offering incense. That's what his duty was as a priest. His wife Elizabeth had kept their home and served the Lord. And that's how the Bible describes Zacharias and Elizabeth, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances, blameless in their obedience to the commands of God. And here's Zacharias, who has prayed and prayed and prayed. And now he's in the place of prayer. Incense was an example of prayer, a type of prayer. And there the angel appears by the altar of incense. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. And thou shalt have a son, and you'll call his name John. Now, Zacharias had trouble believing. And he asked the angel the question, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife, well stricken in years. I don't know why he didn't just say she's old too. He waxed eloquent, I guess, and said she's well stricken in years. Now see, the natural did not seem possible to him, even though he was seeing a supernatural demonstration, spiritual power right before him. And so Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak glad tidings to you. But thou believest not my words. And because of that, you're not going to be able to speak until the child's born. 9 months of not being able to tell in great detail what he saw, what he heard, what he experienced, what the angel said. He could write it, but the inflection was not there. The intonation was not there. The exclamation was not there. No matter how many points he added, he couldn't share it. Now, it's a miracle when the mute speak. And the mute receive the Holy Ghost just like you. They speak in tongues. But do we consider it a miracle when the speaker becomes mute? Probably not. I don't think John considered it a miracle, and I'm pretty sure Elizabeth got tired of his scrawl. Papers all over the place. But when God does something, or when he says something, praise God, I can believe it. I can claim it. Praise God. And had Zacharias believed it and had he been able to proclaim it, there probably would have been doubters. There had been the mark of the beast. There had been people asking questions. Really? Really? You're going to have a son? At this age? At this time of your life? Oh, when there's proof of the promise. Praise God. I'm glad we can testify. Ezekiel in chapter 37 was carried away in the spirit. And the Lord carried him to a valley. And not just any valley, it was a valley full. Not of springs and ponds and waters, not of lush grass and beautiful bushy flowers. It was a valley full of dry bones. Very many dry bones. And the Lord asked him the question, can these bones live? And I can see Ezekiel shrug and hold up his hands, palms up, and say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, I don't know. You're the one who knows. You're the one who does. You're the one who acts. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. When situations seem hopeless, when things appear lifeless, God can work. God can step in. Praise God. And the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy. To what? To these dry bones? They're all separated. There's no skin or flesh or muscle or anything on them. Prophesy to them. And so he did. Hear the word of the Lord. He's preaching to these dry bones. Breath will enter and live. Sinew, flesh, and skin will appear upon you. And suddenly there was motion, there was movement, there was clattering and banging. And those bones came together and sinew and flesh and skin came upon them. My, he's standing there watching all of this. But there was no breath. The Lord said there would be breath, but there wasn't any. So the Lord said, prophesy again. And Ezekiel did as he was commanded. And breath came. And they lived and they stood up, a great army. He's seeing this now. This valley was full of dry bones. And then they were full of bodies. And now it's a great army. And he hears the Lord say to him, can't I do this to Israel? Amen. The Lord wanted to bring resurrection. The Lord wanted to bring restoration. The Lord wanted to show that this is what he can do to his people. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad we're serving a God who is the resurrection and the life. I'm glad we're serving one who is able to call forth from the dead. I'm glad we're serving one who is able to bring life. Praise God. But you got to believe it. I've not seen a tightrope walker in action. Tightrope walkers have crossed Niagara Falls. You've been to Niagara Falls? There's a wind that comes from all that falling water. Not a wind that you can feel as you're walking away from the falls, but when you get to the falls, there's a wind. And the mist from that, all of those millions of gallons of water that are flowing over the edge of those falls are creating those winds. But yet, those tightrope walkers have gone back and forth. The Grand Canyon that I have not seen, I'd like to see it. I've seen it from the air. They've walked across that. Pretty incredible. Heights better not be a distraction to you. Winds better not have an effect on you. But a man named George crossed the Niagara many times, and I looked it up. He crossed the Niagara blindfolded on a tightrope. He crossed it in a sack, you know, like those sack races we used to have when we were kids. He was in a sack, and he walked across the tightrope. He crossed it on stilts. He got his manager to climb on his back, and he walked across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He sat down halfway, and he cooked an omelet. I mean, the guy's crazy. He cooked an omelet and ate it and then got up and walked the rest of the way. He carried a chair out onto the tightrope, and he balanced that chair on one leg on the tightrope, and then he got up on the chair. The guy's nuts. They need to put him away. Well, he is away. This was back in the 1800s when George did this. But one time, he came across with a wheelbarrow. And when he got to the other side, he asked the crowd, do you think I can get across again? And they all clamored, yes, yes. They saw him walk across with the wheelbarrow. And then he said, okay, come and get in. Believest thou this? Now see, Jesus is not asking you to be dumb and take a risk. He's not asking you to be foolish. He's not asking you to risk your life. He's asking you to give him your life. Because he's the life. He's the resurrection. You can't just talk about believing. You can't just nod in agreement. Yes, I believe. There's got to be action. There's got to be evidence. Believing and following the Lord with action. Love is a powerful motivation. Powerful. That's the reason Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, those disciples, they would clue in right away when they heard I am. Because they knew what he was referring to. They knew that he was reaching all the way back to that burning bush when Moses heard the Lord declare, I am that I am. And whenever Jesus stated, I am, they knew what he was saying. I am the resurrection and the life. It was proven in the Old Testament. Elijah and the son of the widow, Elisha and the son of the Shunammite woman, Elisha's bones reviving that dead man that was thrown into his tomb. Praise God. And I can just imagine those guys running away, and they cast the dead man into the tomb so they could run faster. And here comes the dead man running behind them. I think they picked up speed. God showed his resurrection power. Praise God. The daughter of Jairus, I don't have time. The son of the widow, Lazarus. We'll spend a little time with Lazarus. Lazarus heard Jesus call his name. Been dead 4 days. They rolled the stone aside. He didn't hear the grate of the stone upon stone. He didn't hear the grunts and the effort of the men who were rolling the stone aside. He didn't hear their gasps as they smelled the decomposition. But he heard Jesus. Now, he was bound hand and foot, and a napkin was on his face. How did he get off of the slab? How did he know which way was out? How did he know which way to turn? And how could he shuffle or hop or whatever he did to get out of there? He heard the voice, and he headed toward the voice. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He was not able to see clearly. He was not able to walk easily, but he took heed to the voice. Lazarus, come forth. Praise God. And he that was bound hand and foot with a napkin over his face came out of the darkness of the tomb into the marvelous light of the one who called him forth. Praise God. Oh, that we could hear the voice of God speaking to us in our situations, that we could hear the voice of God calling to us in our seemingly dead situations. Praise God. John 5 and 25, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Verse 28, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Marvel not. How can we not marvel? That's incredible. That's amazing. The dead are going to hear his voice. Oh, thank God. The believers who are in the grave right now are going to hear the trumpet. Amen. And they're going to rise first. Praise God. Many living today don't want to hear his voice. And if they hear his voice, they tend to ignore it. So many other voices clamoring for attention. So many other voices who are trying to give advice and direction. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we can train our ear and our heart to hear the voice of God. Because he's good at resurrection. He's good at restoration. Praise God. Friendships can be restored. Families can be restored. Marriages can be restored. Praise God. Oh, I've heard the statement that guilt is a gift that keeps on giving. And sure enough, it is. But I'd like to say it now. Forgiveness is a gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Thank God we can rejoice in his forgiveness. Thank God we can be satisfied in his forgiveness. Thank God we can rest in his forgiveness. Praise God. Tremendous work that he does. Now, this little book, it's a whole Bible, the whole Bible. And it's real soft cover, pin seal Morocco. If you're a Bible snob, if I can say it that way, and you like very fine India paper and very soft covers, you would appreciate this Bible that I bought when I was in Bible school. And I used it for almost 30 years. And then I took it to Nashville and lost it in 1999 when I retired teaching and I could finally go to a general conference. Lost it. And it was gone all of that time. But almost 18 years later, it shows up in a package in Hoonah, because that's the address that was in there. And Sister Charclaine sent a text saying, this package came with your name and actually Mrs. M.A. Glover, my wife, claimed it. And so it came in a package to her and to the P.O. box of the church in Hoonah. She said, what's your address? And I'll send it on. Had no idea that this Bible that I've had since 1970, or except for the time it was lost in Nashville, and somebody else used it for a while, finally it came, forwarded to me, so that I can enjoy the pin seal Morocco India paper and the notes that I wrote in it while I was in Bible school and pastoring in Hoonah and all the other times that I was there. God knows how to restore. He knows how to restore. My son Greg and my son Mike, and I suppose Jeff too, are Bible snobs. They like to have nice, soft covers. They like to have all of the niceties of the Bible. And I would describe this Bible to them and regret that I lost it. But now here it is. God is not just great because of the big things that he does. God is great because of the small things. Let's give him praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 How much more does God care about restoring souls? How much more does God care about restoring your loved ones? Those who stumbled, those who struggled, those who fell. Oh, yes, he's a God of restoration. Otherwise, in Luke 15, there wouldn't be three examples of restoration. The lost sheep, I found it. Come and rejoice with me. The lost coin, I swept the house and I found it. Come and rejoice with me. My son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost is now found. Come on, we're going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to put the best robe on him. We're going to put sandals on his feet. We're going to celebrate. Because God has restored. Amen. That axe head that floated when Elisha threw a stick into the water after the worker lost it. The worker didn't ask for money to repay what was borrowed. Elisha didn't say, the market is next weekend. We'll go and find another one. No. Elisha restored that axe head that floated on the surface of the water like the stick he threw in. God knows how to restore. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Kings 8 and 5. We'll take just a little while here. We've been here a long time anyway. In a few more minutes won't make that much difference. 2 Kings 8 and 5. Elisha and that Shunammite, remember that Shunammite woman's son was restored to life? Amen. The woman whose son was raised from the dead. He had told her about a coming famine, a 7-year famine. And so she went to live in the land of the Philistines because of that 7-year famine. She returned and came to the king's palace at the same hour, the same moment that Elisha's servant was recounting the deeds of Elisha, because the king inquired, what mighty works has he done? And so, in 2 Kings 8 and 5, and here's I'll read it, and you emphasize the restored part, okay? Every time there's restored, you read it. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. She'd been gone for 7 years. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha to life." Then you know what the king did? He appointed an official to restore her land, and not just her land, the harvest every year that was collected from her land. The king said, "Restore it." Praise God. Oh, yeah. Questions. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? John the Baptist. Herod, when he heard of Jesus and his mighty works, said, "That's John the Baptist, raised from the dead." He didn't say it joyfully, because John the Baptist preached against him. Herod could believe that John the Baptist could be raised from the dead, but he didn't believe enough to change his sinful lifestyle. He didn't believe enough to cast off the works of darkness that he was bound in. But the disciples continued their list. Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. "Whom say ye that I am?" See, here it comes down to this again. Believest thou this? "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said it another time in John 6, when the Lord saw hundreds walking away that he had fed, thousands that he had fed, but now they're departing by the hundreds. And he looked at his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, it's good to believe. It's good to be sure. The resurrection and the life. Praise God. The crowd at the tomb asked the question, "Could not this man," when they saw Jesus weeping, when they saw his tears, they questioned, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" See, they're kind of in the same place as Mary and Martha. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They said it exactly the same. "Lord, if you had been here." And now the crowd is asking more or less the same thing. Oh yeah, Jesus could heal the eyes of the blind. Jesus could heal the sick. But resurrection? But oh, thank God. Power. The power of his name. The power of his spirit. Amen. Healed in the name. Delivered by the power. Praise God. Do you believe this? It's a simple yes or no. Not a quiz of your IQ. Not an essay exam. Yes? No. Your actions will show it. Stand with me now, please. You've done good. You've done good. It's hot in here. We've worshiped hard. We've had a great time in the presence of God. You've listened to me for the last 35 minutes. Do you believe this? See, we can go with the flow of the crowd. We can jump and holler and shout, and thank God we can do that. I enjoy it. I love it. It blesses me to see you do it. But there will come the time that you've got to be able to affirm it, that you've got to be able to say it, that you've got to be able to live it. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And I believe it. And I claim it. And I hold on to it. In the face of all that I'm up against, every problem, every lie from the devil, every doubt that comes into my heart and mind, Lord, I believe it. Praise God. And oh, the Lord delights to come into those situations and say, roll the stone away. And call life forth. And say, loose him and let him go. Because that's his power. That's his power. Do you believe that? Praise God. Come and let's pray here for a few minutes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, how important to live like Jesus was crucified yesterday. To live like he rose from the dead today. And to live like he's coming back tomorrow. To put it all in perspective. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's let the Lord know. I believe it. Hallelujah. Let's let the Lord know you're holding on to him. You're believing his word. You're claiming his promise. You're walking with him in his spirit. In the face of everything that comes against you, against all opposition, against all difficulty, against all the lies of the devil. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, I believe it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for giving me cause, for giving me reason to believe. Thank you, Lord, for all the work that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given. Thank you, Lord, for speaking life into my situations. Thank you, Lord, for speaking life into all of the needs that we bring before you. Thank you, Lord, for being the resurrection. Hallelujah, for bringing hope. Oh, God, for bringing happiness, for bringing satisfaction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for abundance in life. Thank you, Lord, for your power and goodness. Thank you for a love that will never be separated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, we exalt you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's pray for one another right now. Let's pray for one another. Thank God. Let's help our brother, help our sister to believe. Oh, yes, we believe it, Lord. Oh, yes, we claim it, Lord. Oh, yes, we stand upon it, Lord. Your promise, God. Your presence, Lord. Your provision, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I lift you up, Lord God. I lift you up, Lord God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.